الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Many of us sitting here, many months must have passed by and we didn't think about death, mouth. So busy we are in living and seeking a good life that they forgot that they were sent to this earth to die a good death. Insan is the name of that one creation who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given ilm that you will die one day. Animals and trees and stars, they don't know that. And this is what our akal was given for. We were made distinct and special so that we can understand that there will be an end to this life. This name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mumit. Al-Mumit means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls our death. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls our life. And what we are supposed to learn from that, learn from this particular name, is that we are supposed to live such a life, a good life, where we die a good death. We have not been sent to this world to live a pleasurable life. We have been sent to this world to die a pleasurable death. And that's a fundamental teaching of every religion, every book, every Nabi. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the Quran. Kullu nafsin za'ikatul maut. That each and every person, they will feel the zaika of death. They will taste death. They will experience death. One thing we have to understand is that this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is it's an opportunity for a preparation for death. This life is temporary, it's fleeting. And the Prophet said in a hadith that kun fid dunya ka annaka ghareeb aw aabiru sabeel, that be in this world like a stranger or a traveler on the path, like a person when you travel to some foreign country. So you view yourself to be a traveler. You don't have many facilities and many luxuries and comforts with you. But you're always, when you're in a foreign country, you're always thinking that the moment my work is done, then I'm going to go back to my home country. And my family, my spouse, my kids, my relatives, my friends, they'll be waiting for me there. So a person is always thinking that when will I get done with this work? And when can I go back home to my hometown? Exactly in the same way, our hometown, our home country is Jannat. Our home is Jannah. That's our watani asli, our real homeland. And in this dunya, we are just here for a temporary time. It's a temporary stay. What you call watani iqamat. Like many people in Pakistan, many young men, when they graduate from university, they go to the Middle East, Dubai or Sharjah, and they're going there just to stay there for a temporary period of time, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, earn in dirhams. And then they know my hometown, my home country is Pakistan. So I'm going to come back to my home country. I'm just here for a temporary amount of time to earn. Exactly in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to this world for a temporary amount of time. It's a fleeting place. We'll complete our muddat and then we'll go back to our real homeland, which is Jannat. So in this world, we're supposed to prepare for our homeland, which is Jannat. Our journey started when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to this world. And this world, while we are here, there will be mukhtalif, there will be different trials, there will be different tests, tribulations. This world has been made a place of examination, where all of us will be examined every day with different halat, with different conditions. This dunya, it's not a place of enjoyment. It's not a place of rest. It's not a place of recreation. It's not a play. It's not a permanent stay. It's an examination hall. This is a tragedy that we view this world to be the be-all. And we thought this is some kind of a play or recreation or entertainment. But the reality is that this dunya, we are being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Quran that hasiba an-nasu, that two people think that an yutraku an yakulu amanna wa hum la yaftanun, that they will just say that I have iman and they will not be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Now, indeed, we tested the people who came before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And indeed, we tested those who came before in order to see who are those who are truthful and who are those who are fake in the relationship with Allah, who are lying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us like Allah Ta'ala tested people before us. Why? To differentiate those who are truthful and those who are kadhibin, who are engaged in a life of kith, falsehood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see that we gave this life, who are those who will view this opportunity to do as many good deeds as they can, and then they will leave this world in a state that Allah will be razi with them. So that's why Allah says in Quran that Alladhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being, khalaq al-mauta, who created mouth. This word al-mumit, right, the one who gives mouth. Khalaq al-mauta comes in Quran, the one who created mouth. Allah is that being who created mouth, wal-hayata, and Allah created life, hayat. And then interestingly, Allah mentions, why did Allah ta'ala create mouth and hayat, life and death? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, in order to see that who will do the most ahsan action, the most pious action, the most good action. Who are those people who are going to excel in doing good deeds? So this dunya, we are supposed to excel in doing good deeds. We're supposed to improve our character. We're supposed to beautify ourselves with praiseworthy attributes. We're supposed to live a life of a proper human being so that then we can present ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can enable us to enter into Jannah. This dunya is an imtihan, it's an exam, where every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us with either things that are according to our liking, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see whether we do shukr, Or sometimes things will happen which are not according to our liking. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see if we will do sabr. But every condition we will be tested. And that's why in Hadith Mubarakah the Prophet said that Ad-Dunya Sijnul Mu'min wa Jannatul Kafir. That this dunya is a prison for the believer. And it's a jannat for the unbeliever. And the one meaning of this hadith is that in this dunya, this mu'min, a believer, will have to abide by the laws of the Sharia. She will have to live by the Sharia. He will have to live by the Sunnah, the Quran Sunnah. And there are certain restrictions, certain conditions that a person will have to abide by. So, dunya, sijnul mu'min. And on the other hand, for an unbeliever, there are no conditions. There are no restrictions. It's freedom. Freedom to do anything, right? Anywhere. Just lead his own life. Whatever the heart wants, whatever the heart desires, the unbelievers can do that. That's one meaning. As the commentators, Muhaddithin, have mentioned that there's also another meaning of this hadith, which is that this dunya, no matter how much maza and how much pleasure and how much joy a person might try to get from this dunya compared to the pleasures of Jannat, the pleasures of dunya compared to the pleasures of Jannat are nothing. They are nothing. They're like this dunya is like a prison. Any of the pleasures of Jannah, when a person will see the pleasures of Jannah, they will think that the pleasures of dunya were just like a prison. And on the other hand, for an unbeliever, no matter how many difficulties and musibate and calamity that person experiences in this dunya, when that person will reach Akhirah and will made to enter into Jahannam, then looking at the musibat and the parishani of Jahannam, that person will think that my dunya was like a jannat. Wal jannatu ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared jannat for the believers. And jannat is a place which is very difficult for a person to understand. Right? We can't even conceptualize. Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq, in one of our sessions, we are hoping, inshallah, to explain a bit about Jannat as well. What is Jannat? And the lutf of Jannat. But we need to understand that this dunya is made out of mud. It's made out of things which are fani, which are fleeting. Jannat is made out of something which is baqi. It's gold, silver, jewelry, something which is eternal. And whoever attaches themselves to makhluk, one day will be separated from this makhluk. But whoever attaches their heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day they'll be joined with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lesson of this name is that we should try to prepare for our death, prepare for our akhirah. And we should try to make use of every day that we have. Every day is priceless. We spend that day doing as many good deeds as we can. We spend our nights doing as many good deeds as we can. And we try to make this the objective of our life, that I want to lead such a life which is free of sin. That's my goal, a sin-free life. One of our mashayikh, very famous sheikh of this ummah, Hazrat Khwaja Abul Hasan Kharkani rahmatullah, he said something very beautiful, very ajeeb. He said that that person who spends one day in such a condition that they don't sin, one day which is sin free is like that person spend that day in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. So we should have this desire in our heart that at least for one day I should spend this day in such a manner that I don't sin. I don't sin with my eyes, I don't sin with my tongue, with my ears, with any part of my body. We should try to spend that one day according to the sunnah so that we can also get this ni'mat. It's as if you'll be spending that day in the company, the companionship of the Prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Mumit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of death. And about death, we should understand that every person has to die. Even the atheist also believes in death. They may or may not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but every human being, they believe in death. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. That every human soul will taste the experience of death. Acha doesn't say that every person will die. The words are important. Every person will experience the zaika, the taste of death. Because this zaika, the taste, can either be sweet or it can be sour. So those who are believers, those who lead a life of piety, their death will be a sweet death, a beautiful death. And those who are distant from Allah, when they die, their death will be sour, will be bitter, will be harsh. So today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this tawfiq that we can prepare for our death. One of the scholars used to say, it's mentioned in the books, it's a beautiful statement that, oh my friend, death is certain. But whether you get kafan or not, that is not certain. You have yakin about death, but there is a doubt about whether we'll get our kafan or not. No one knows that. In what hal we will die, and whether there'll be anyone around us to give us even kafan and ghusl and janaza and lay us to rest in the graveyard. No one knows about this. We hear stories about people who are big, big landlords and businessmen, and they died in such a state that no one even recognized them in some strange land, and they don't even have any money with them for their kafan, for their dafan, for their janaza. So we should try. Moth hake, death is certain, but yes, we don't know whether a person will get the kafan or not. So we should try that. We use this month of Ramadan as a way to prepare for our death. This is a principle that we should always remember, that if our life is beautiful, then the death will also be beautiful. Beautiful in the sense, if the life is righteous and pious, the death would also be a good death. And on the other hand, if the life is we are neglectful of Allah, a person is away from Allah, and it's something which is displeasing, we're leading a life in a way, in a manner, that we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the death will also be like that. It will be a bad death, a bad ending. So if we spend a life of piety and righteousness doing good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the sweet taste of death, the death of righteousness, the death of piety. Imam, so this is something we need to prepare for. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ali explained this in a very beautiful way. He gave a story. Mentioned the story about a king who had this big garden, which had many, you can say, many levels. Garden 1, garden 2, garden 3, and so on. So the king, he called a person and said that, here, take this basket and enter my garden, and then choose the best fruits that you want to from my garden. And I'll give you a very big reward at the end. But the condition is that when you enter, then you cannot, whatever level you are in, you can choose fruits from that level. But once you leave that level, you cannot return back to that same level. So that person said, fine, this doesn't seem like a big deal. So he picked up that basket, went inside the garden, and first entered the first level. And he saw that the fruits in this first level weren't nice, right? So he thought that I'm just going to move to the next level. Entered the next level and saw that the fruits are a bit better. Then entered the third level and saw that the fruits are now even better. Right? They were more higher, better quality. So then a thought came to him that perhaps I should now finally pick the fruits and fill my baskets with fill my basket with these fruits. But as he was about to take the fruits, another thought came that, let me wait. Maybe the last level of this garden has the best fruits. So why fill my basket with this fruit? Let me wait for the last level. And the moment he entered into the last level, he saw that there were no fruits there. And then he was right of source. He was lamenting the fact that I wish I had taken the fruits earlier. Now I don't have anything with me in my basket, and I'll be presenting this empty basket to the king. So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, then he mentioned after this story that, oh my friend, that king is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the garden in which that person was walking, right? The person was walking in that garden, that person is you. His likeness is your example. And the basket that he had is your Name Amal, your book of deeds. And the garden is your life. And the different levels of the garden are like the different days of your life. So you have an opportunity that every day you can pick the fruits of good deeds. That's what Allah is commanding you. But you are delaying, you are thinking that I will do this tomorrow. I'm going to pick the fruits tomorrow. I'm going to pick the fruits tomorrow. I'm going to pick the fruits tomorrow. And then one day, there will be no tomorrow. And you will have to present yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was such a big messenger and a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him nabuwat, and Allah ta'ala also blessed him with kingdom. And his kingdom extended over human beings, even animals. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that the type of kingdom which was given to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, that type of kingdom was not given to anyone before him and won't be given to anyone after him. Subhanallah, right? So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, once he was building the Baitul Muqaddas in Palestine, and for the construction, he had assigned a few jinn, and the jinn were also helping him. And he himself had made this glass room where he was inside, and he was just overseeing, watching the construction of Baitul Muqaddas. Now look at this, that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, such a big Nabi, and he's building a masjid. But in that halat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him back. Allah ta'ala called him back. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him back is also very ajeeb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that the house, the masjid, the jinn should continue building that masjid. So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was standing with a stick in his hand. And where he was standing in that same posture, he passed away. But the jinn, they saw that Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam is still standing. So they continued doing their work. And when the work was done and the Masjid Baitul Muqaddas was built, then that stick finally collapsed. And then he fell on the ground. And then the jinnat, they realized that Sayyidina Sulaiman al-Islam has passed away. So look, this is Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's building the house of Allah ta'ala, and is engaged and preoccupied in this task. When the time for death comes, then no respite is given. No extra time is given. But then a person has to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a lesson for us, that we should reflect on our life, that what type of tasks we are engaged in. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam was engaged in this task of building a masjid. What type of tasks, what type of activities, kin kamo mein hum lage? What are the things that we are doing? How are we spending our time? And when our time comes to leave this world, Then what will happen? We won't have any time to prepare for our death. This life, these days, these nights, these minutes that we have, this is precisely the time for preparation. We won't be given some extra time or some separate time that you can prepare for death in this extra time that you have. This life, this very, these days and nights are what we have to prepare for our death. So we should realize the importance of this time. Many times it happens that people who are young, they pass away, and elderly people, they are carrying the janazah. Many times it happens. And we understand that a person can pass away at any stage of their life. And that is why all of us, we need to prepare for this. This is one of our needs, because no one knows that when the time will come and when we'll have to leave this world. That person who hasn't prepared for death, their example is like that of a barat, right? Now barat comes to the house, and the bride, she is in the makeup, right? She's getting her makeup done. The barat is already there. Exactly in the same way, if you're not able to prepare for our death, when the malikul maut comes, then at that time we would be worried, right? If Allah says in Quran, people will say, Rabbir ji'un, oh Allah, give me some time so I can go back. La'alli a'malu salihan, so that I can do some amal salih. Just give me one more time, just one more chance, so that I can go back and I can do all these good deeds that I want to do. And then it will be said to them, Kalla, then no way. The time that you had is over. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, all of us know how much honor and rank he had as a Sahabi. He had assigned a task to a person, and the task was very ajeeb. He said that your responsibility is that from time to time I want you to remind me of death. That's it. I want you to remind me of death. So from time to time, different gatherings, different majalis, that person used to keep reminding Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu about the coming of death. And then one day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him that now you can pick some other task, you don't need to do this. So that person said that, Hazrat, now you don't need me to remind you of death? You don't need anyone to remind you of death? And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he pointed towards his hair. And there were some white strands in his hair. And he said, these white strands that you see, these are enough to remind me of my death. When I look at these white strands, I remember my death. Once the Prophet said to Malikul Maut, that, O Malikul Maut, before you come, why don't you send a representative of yours, right? And alert us that you are coming. Send someone before you so that all of us can be prepared. So Malakul Maut, he replied, that, Ya Rasulullah, beloved of Allah, that I send so many messages before coming, but people don't understand that message. I send messages, but people don't understand those messages. When a person reaches old age, this is a message that death is coming. When a person's eyesight begins to weaken, this is a message that the maut is coming. When a person's teeth begins to fall, this is a message that death is coming. When a person doesn't have that quwwat in their jism, in their bones, this is a message that the death is coming. When a person begins to fall sick, this is a message that I'm coming. These are messages, but our tragedy is that we don't take these messages. We don't understand. And people, we become ghafil, we become heedless of our akhirah. This is the reason why we should try to prepare for our death. We don't know in what condition we will leave this world. Many times we see that a person who is young, they pass away. If death was something which one could delay using power, then Pharaoh would have never died. He was the most powerful. If death was something which this, government, right? If the strength of the government and these, if you could use that as a way to delay your death, then Haman would never die. If death was something that you could delay using wealth and mal and dirham, dinar, dollars, Karun would have never died. He was a multi-billionaire of his time. If death was something that you could delay using your strength, your physical strength, then Rustum and Sehrab, these Persian wrestlers, right? They would have never died. If death was something that you could delay using medicines, then the doctors, Galen and all these people, they wouldn't have never died. If death was something that using wisdom you could delay, that wisdom could be used to delay death, then Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam would have never died. He was Hakimul Ummat. And if death was something that you could delay using loyalty, then a pious wife, she would have never allowed her husband to pass away. And if death was something that you could delay using love, then a mother, she would have never allowed her innocent son to pass away. But we have seen this, that there is a young man or a young boy who's lying on the bed, and all the household members are asking, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" And that boy is silent, no reply. And his sister, she steps up and says, that tell me, his daughter, she steps up and says that, "Oh my father, tell me, what happened to you? I will help you, I will serve you. Whenever you needed anything, I would always be helping, I would always help you. Just tell me." And the father, he's silent. He's not replying. And the daughter, she is crying. That, oh father, oh my father, oh Abu, place your hands upon my head. Why aren't you telling me? Why aren't you replying? Father is silent. Then the sister, she steps forward and says, "Oh my brother, tell me what happened to you." The brother, he's silent. She says, "I'm your sister. I'm your sister. Tell me. Tell me what your need is. I'll fulfill your needs. I used to wake up at night just to make dua for you. I'm your sister. I can sacrifice my rest for your sake." But that person won't be able to reply. And then his wife, she will step forward and say that, "Oh my companion of life, tell me what happened to you." No reply from her husband. The wife, she will be crying. "Look at my tears. I'm calling you. I'm asking you. Why aren't you replying? Why are you silent? We took a covenant that we will be with each other. We'll always be with each other in times of happiness, in times of sadness. Our life is like one. We're both together. You are my solace. You are my sukoon. I'm your sukoon. We always share our secrets with each other. We always share our heart with each other. I'm asking you, tell me. Whatever is in your heart, tell me. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll fulfill your need. Just speak to me." But the husband is silent. She might think that if I've done something to displease you, why are you upset with me? Why are you upset? She will be crying, but there'll be no response from her husband. And then finally, the mother, she would step in. And she will say that, "Oh, my son. Oh, my son, you are my life. Tell me what happened to you. I'm your ummi speaking. I'm your mother speaking." But the son will not be able to reply. The mother, she will say that, "Oh, my son, I spend my wealth on you. I used to take care of you. I'm your mother. Just say what happened to you. Which the son will not be able to reply. But oh my son, when I got married, I was not able to expect anyone. I lost hope. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me you. Allah ta'ala blessed me with this ni'mat of awlad. Allah gave me. I used to make dua to Allah in salah. I used to ask Allah for awlad. I used to wake up at night in tahajjud and make dua for awlad. I used to go for hajj and tawaf and used to make dua. I used to go at Maqam Ibrahim and make dua. Whenever there was any blessed night, I used to rise up at night and make dua for you. I would make tilawat and then after tilawat, I used to ask Allah for the awlad. Whenever there was any pious gathering, I would go there and I would request people to make dua. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me you. And when you came into my life, I was so happy. Before you, I was sad. But you became the joy of my house. You became the joy of my heart. When I used to look at your face, my heart used to flutter with happiness and joy. You used to remove all the sadness of my heart. I raised you up with so much love. I raised you up with so much muhabbat and shafqat. First, I used to give you, and then I used to eat myself. First, you used to drink. Then I used to drink. First, you used to sleep, and then I used to go to sleep. I raised you up with so much muhabbat. Before, when I used to go out for shopping, I would buy things for myself. Now, when I used to go out with you, I used to buy things for you. I used to buy things for you that your feeder should be like this, your clothing should be like this, your swings should be like this, your toys should be like this. Oh my son, I forgot my own self because of you. When you used to cry, oh my son, I couldn't see your tears. I would wipe your tears with my hands. And I would ask you, is there anything that I can do for you? When you used to go out to study, I used to be waiting for you to come back. I used to be waiting for you to come back. Then when will you come back? I used to make dua to Allah Ta'ala for hifaza. That, oh my Allah, my son has gone out. Allah enable him to reach back with safety, with security. I used to be waiting, standing at the door, waiting in anticipation, in expectation that now you will be coming back. Now what happened? Why aren't you replying to me? I'm your mother. Tell me what happened. The mother, she's crying, but there's no reply from her son. And then when it's the last time, the son, his eyes, they go up and the ruh comes out of from his body. He leaves this world and leaves behind everyone, behind him, and they're all crying for his sake. So this is what haqiqat of life is. Allah says in Quran that falawla iza balagatil hulqum, when this halaq, when the ruh reaches the halaq, the throat, wa antum hina izin tanzurun, and at that time you'll all be watching, wa nahnu aqrabu ilayhi minkum, and at that time we're closer to that dying person than any of you, walakin la tubsirun, but you don't understand. So this is how the ruh will be taken away. The mother, she will be watching as the ruh of her son will be taken out. And then with her own hands, she will close the eyes of her son. And she knows that after this day, these eyes will never open. And the moment that person dies, then that real insan is gone. Now what is remaining? A few moments before, he was the father of someone. He was the brother of someone, the son of someone, the husband of someone. Now people say he's a mayyat. The jaldi karo, nehlao. give him ghusl, give him kafan, dafan. The real insan left. What's remaining is now just a jism. So that person is given a ghusl, that person is given a kafan. Then he's taken away. People say, now take him to his real house, which is the grave. That person, his janazah is taken on the shoulders, and then that person is laid to rest inside the grave. So we should try to prepare for our death. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq that we can prepare for our akhirah, we can prepare for our death. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, he said a very ajeeb thing in one of his books. He said that, oh my friend, that perhaps you don't know, but that cloth which will become your kafan is already there in the market. That cloth which will become your kafan is now already there, available in the market. We have forgotten our death, but our death doesn't forget us. In fact, in some riwayat, it's mentioned that the death remembers us 80 times every day. It's like 80 missed calls every single day. And then one day we'll have to pick up that call and we'll have to leave. So this is the reason why we should live our life thinking that we can leave anytime. And what that means is the person should be akhira-centric. The Prophet ﷺ was akhira-centric. Once he went to relieve himself and did tayammum, even though the water, the river was just in front of him, a few steps away, but still he did tayammum. So a sahabi asked him, Ya Rasulullah, the river is just a few steps in front of you. Still you're making tayammum. And the Prophet ﷺ replied that I made tayammum because that river is a few steps in front of me. And I don't know whether I'll be able to reach that river or not, lest I die before that. So I want to ensure that I'm already in a state of tayammum, and then I'm going forward and I'll make wudu with that water. This was the hal of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Once the Prophet ﷺ asked his companions that, what do you know about death? And one sahabi said that, Ya Rasulullah, that I wake up in the morning and I am not sure whether I'll be able to live till the evening or not. A second sahabi said that, O Allah, O Messenger of Allah, that I make niyat of praying 4 rakah, and I don't have yakin whether I'll be able to complete my 4 rakat or not. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that my condition is that when I'm praying salah, when I say salam on one side, I don't know whether I'll be able to say salam on the other side or not. So if this is the condition of death, then why shouldn't we also start preparing for our death? In Hadith Mubarakah, it's mentioned that when a pious person dies, then the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they bring the fragrances from Jannah. And the angels then place a cloth, like a romal, on the chest of that person. And they take out the roof from that person with so much ease, like a person takes out a hair from butter. And with a lot of ease, that person's roof is taken out. And then arrangement is made for the kafan and dafan of that person. In a riwayat, in a Hadith Mubarakah it comes, in a riwayat it's mentioned that that when a pious person dies, then the doors of the heavens, the doors of the skies through which the rizq used to descend, used to come down, that door starts to cry. And the pieces of ground on which that person used to do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that piece of land starts to cry. Yani the heaven and the earth start crying when a pious person leaves this world. In one hadith mubarakah, we are told about a sahabi, Hazrat Saad radiallahu ta'ala an. When he passed away, so the Prophet was walking for this janaza, and he was walking on his tiptoes. So some sahabi asked that, Ya Rasulullah, we have never seen you walk like this before. The Prophet said that, yes, that so many angels have descended from the sky in order to participate in the janaza of Saad that there is no space for me. That's why I'm tiptoeing. There are so many angels here. And then when Hazrat Saad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was buried in the grave, then the Prophet said to the other sahaba that on the passing away of Saad, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so saddened that this arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cried consecutively for 3 days. Allahu Akbar. Yani Nabi salatu wasalam is telling that the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so upset, was so sad, that he was crying for 3 days on the separation when Sayyidina Saad radiallahu ta'ala passed away. So people who are pious, when they leave this world, so the heavens and the earth, they cry for that person. And in the books, it's mentioned that when a pious person, his janaza is taken towards the graveyard. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the angels that stand on either side of the path and welcome this person. So the angels are standing on either side and they're welcoming. And eventually when that person is taken inside and laid inside the qabr, so in a riwayat it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels that this is my servant who must be tired having spent his life in the dunya. Now say to him, Nam ka naumatil urus, that sleep like the sleep of a bride. The way a bride sleeps, sleep like that. With a lot of, yani dulan ki neend so jao. Yani this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you spend your life in piety, doing righteous deeds. Now you must be tired. Dulan ki neend so jao. Sleep like a bride. And the muhaddithin, they have mentioned a point, they explain this further. They say, why is this said, right? That you sleep like the sleep of a bride. Other ways, other expressions could also have been used. That sleep in a good way, or have a nice sleep, have a good sleep, have a sweet, sweet dreams, right? But why is this phrase, Nam ka naumatil urus? And they explain this, they say when a bride, she sleeps, she knows that I will be, the person who will wake me up will be my beloved, will be my husband. And this moment, this believer, when now this person sleeps inside his grave, he knows that on the day of Qiyamah, that being who will wake me up will be my Mahbub Hakiki, will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dulan, the bride, when she opens her eyes, she sees the face of her beloved husband. And on the day of Qiyamah, when the believer will open his eyes, then in front of him, he'll see the vision, the ruya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the jamal, the beauty, the husn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in Hadith Mubarakah it comes that there will be several such believers that they will pass away and then they will be raised up on the day of Qiyamah in such a state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at them and smile, and they will look back at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and smile. Subhanallah. And then a voice will come from above, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbik radiyatan maradiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. That, O nafs mutma'inna, return back to your Lord, return back to the rahmat of your Lord, in such a state that you are Razi, you are pleased with him, and he is pleased with you, and enter into my khas ibadi, my khas servants, and enter into my jannat. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also enable all of us. May Allah ta'ala grant tawfiq to all of us to prepare for our death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we can live a better life in future. May Allah ta'ala make our life to come better than the life that has passed by. May Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq to lead and live a life of taqwa and tahara. And whatever sins we have done, we should make true forgiveness, we should make true tawbah, and we should seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for all of our sins. It's very easy to get this tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very easy to get this maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just have to present ourselves to Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness, make tawbah, and also make this intention that Allah in the future, Allah, we intended to lead a life that is according to your pleasure. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq that we can live a life that is according to the radha and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this gathering, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist and help us in living a life that is according to his radha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to live a life of his pleasure. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbiyal al-wahhab, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have done zulm on ourselves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us for all our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you that you accept our tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make tawbah of all our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you shower us with your maghfirah tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for a life that is pleasing to you. Allah, accept and decree for us a death that is pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us the life of the Quran, Sunnah and Sharia. Allah, grant us the life of Quran, Sunnah and Sharia. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us embodiments of this ayat of the Quran, that inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Allah, let our ibadat be for you. Allah, let our sacrifices and qurbani be for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, let our life be for you. And let our death be for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we wish to live such a life that is pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we wish to die a death that is pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, from the tips of our head to the soles of our feet, Allah, we present ourselves to you tonight. And Allah, we ask that you change us in a way that is according to your radha. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us in such a way that we become beloved to you. Allah, make us in such a way that we become pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us your radha. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want to leave every single thing that is displeasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are also sick and tired of leading such a life that displeases you. That's a cause of embarrassment and shame before you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make true tawbah tonight. Ya Allah, we ask that you assist us, that you help us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us on this path of tawbah. Accept us on this path of muhabbah, this path of mahbubiyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you enable us to excel in doing good deeds. Ya Rabbi Kareem, that you enable us to excel in doing zikr, excel in doing all the ibadah that are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us kamal in our iman, grant us halawat in our iman, grant us the joy and sweetness of iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to leave this world in a state of iman, to live a life of iman, live a life of kamil iman, and to die a death on kamil iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we live in a time where there is a lot of fitnas from within the Muslim Ummah, a lot of fitnas from outside the Muslim Ummah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you protect our iman, that you safeguard our iman from all the different ideologies and isms Muslims that are out there. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, we ask that you grant us a fikr for death, that you grant us a beautiful death, a noble death, a blessed death, a barakahful death. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us a hayatan tayyiba, a beautiful life, a noble life, a pure life, a wholesome life, a life that is pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you grant us the joy and the sweetness of your zikr in this life, the sweetness of your intimacy in this life, the sweetness of your nearness and closeness in this life. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us this shock of meeting you in Akhirah. Allahumma inni nas'aluka shawkan ila liqa'ik wa lazzata nazri ila wajhika al-kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, grant us a shock for meeting you in Akhirah. Allah, make that day a day of yawmi mulaqat, a day. And Ya Allah, you are pleased with us and we are pleased with you. That you are razi with us and we are razi with you. That you are smiling upon us and we are smiling back at you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us your deedar on that day. Ya Rabbi Kareem, increase us in our muhabbat for you. Allah, make your muhabbat more beloved to us. Allah, more beloved to us than our own self. Allah, make your muhabbat more beloved to us than the muhabbat of our parents. Allah, make your muhabbat more beloved to us than the muhabbat of our spouse. Allah, make your muhabbat more beloved to us than the muhabbat of our kids. Allah, make your muhabbat more beloved to us than any and every other relationship that we have. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you make us, Ya Allah, your truest beloveds. Allah, we want to become your truest lovers. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want to love you with the full extent of our hearts, with the full core of our hearts, with the entirety of our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you grant us intensity in our muhabbat for you. Allah, grant us ashaddu hubbal lillah. Allah, grant us rusukh in our muhabbat for you. Grant us davam in our muhabbat for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, remove all the unlawful loves from our heart, all the impermissible loves from our heart, all the impermissible desires from our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us an exit, a break from this prison of our nafs. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, join us to your being. Ya Rabbi Kareem, join us to your muhabbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, increase us in our love for you. And Allah, increase us in our love for those people who love you. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba man yukarribuna ilayk. Ya Rabbi Kareem, increase us in our muhabbat for those people who love you, for those people who are loved by you. Allah, increase us in our muhabbah for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, for those people who are loved by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and for those people who love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us people of muhabbah. Allah, make us people of sohbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us a loving heart, grant us a soft heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, incline our hearts towards your muhabbah, incline our hearts towards your remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove the hardness from our hearts. Allah, remove the crust and rust from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us softness and compassion in our hearts. Allah, grant us narmi in our hearts. Grant us muhabbat in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept our hearts, Ya Allah, for this deen. Allah, we have, Allah, whatever, Allah, these hearts are dark, but Allah, they have iman in you. Allah, we ask that you accept this iman that we have, and Allah, you brighten our hearts. You remove all the darkness of our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, cast one gaze of rahmah upon our hearts. Allah, one glance of muhabbat on our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, purify our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make our hearts, Ya Allah, full to the brim with your muhabbat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to live in this muhabbat, to die in this muhabbat, to be raised up on the day of Qiyamah with this muhabbat of yours in our heart. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.